And we're going to spend the rest of this hour with a cellist who's been taking classical music into places where it is rarely heard. We're listening to Matt Heimowitz. He's playing his cello, solo, on stage, at rock clubs and bars in all 50 states. He's played at the 400 Bar in Minneapolis, Club Dada in Dallas, and the Mangy Moose in Jackson Hole. He was scheduled to play the Dead Goat Saloon in Salt Lake City until the bar turned into a strip club. The musician making this unconventional tour is one of the world's most renowned young cellists. As a child, he was a protege of Itzhak Perlman and a student of Leonard Rose. Once, Rose needed someone to fill in for him at Carnegie Hall, and the 13-year-old Matt Heimowitz stepped on stage. Now, at the advanced age of 32, he runs the cello program at the University of Massachusetts. But it is his road act that caught our attention. Imagine pulling on your leather pants, stepping out for the night, leaning on the bar, ordering a draft beer, and listening to this composition by Bach. And Matt Heimowitz is going to join us now here in Studio 4A at NPR, where he's going to perform for us. Hi.
Hello.
And you've got a cello with you.
I do indeed, most of the time.
Which is from 1710, I understand.
It is from 1710. It's a Venetian instrument by Matteo Goffriller. And for the last 15 years, it's been my companion. I take it just about everywhere.
So you're taking this precious instrument and throwing it in the trunk of your car and going into smoky bars and restaurants and places like that.
You could put it that way. I think that, you know, music was heard in coffee houses and on the streets and just about everywhere back in the 18th century. And I'm sure that this cello, which was made 10 years before the Bach cello suites were composed, probably ended up in some of the crazy kinds of places that I'm taking it back to now. And it survived this long, so I figure it's gonna make it.
Is that why you wanted to take it into bars?
No, I don't think so. I'm just justifying myself.
Well, why?
Well, for me, it was a matter of looking out for years and years into the concert hall and not seeing people of my generation there and younger generations in the concert hall. And what I'm finding on this tour is that I'm getting an extraordinary mix of people. When you look out at a place at CBGB where I played the Star Spangled Banner of Jimi Hendrix, there were punk rockers sitting next to classical music aficionados. They were all sitting there together, and that, to me, is what the power of this music and any music can do to bring people together.
CBGB is a famous rock club in New York City that has not seen a lot of classical musicians over the years, I wouldn't imagine.
I was the very first. I amazingly, I mean, you, it's very difficult to do anything for the first time in New York City.
You ever see the movie The Blues Brothers?
Yeah, I love that movie.
I'm wondering if you have in any of these clubs had a scene like that scene in The Blues Brothers where they show up at the country and western bar and it's just not the music that the audience is expecting.
I haven't had anything quite like that, but that would be great, actually. I would look forward to the challenge.
We're talking to Matt Heimowitz, a classical cellist who's been going to these rock clubs. You actually recorded a version of, and this takes a little bit of explaining, but Jimi Hendrix has a famous guitar solo that he played of the national anthem at Woodstock in 1969. You interpreted that for the cello and recorded it actually at this rock club, CBGB, for your new album, Anthem, and I wonder if you could play it again for us here in Studio 4A.
I'd be delighted to, absolutely. I do play it on tour acoustically. I don't do any of the distortions that he used.
Although you achieve some of the same effects.
I try to go for the same effects, but it's all acoustic. In order to get these sounds, I sometimes have to sort of play wrong. I have to play wrong to get the right notes, let's say.
I'm looking forward to seeing this as well as hearing it. Thank you. Wow. Matt Heimovitz here in Studio 4A at NPR. It's amazing. And to see the way you play that is interesting, too. You've got your left hand, the fingers of your left hand, down so low on the cello, I almost thought you were going to saw them off with the bow a couple of times.
Yes, you're right. I often will go up the lower strings, the G and C strings, all the way up near to the bridge. And when you do that, you just get all these overtones that are similar to those of the electric guitar. So sorry, I'm out of breath, as you can see, after playing that.
It's okay. Take a moment. Take a drink of water if you need to. Where'd you get the idea to do this?
You know, I grew up in a pretty sheltered classical music household, and it wasn't until my first year in college that I discovered there were genres of music outside of classical. So that was the period where I discovered a lot of new living composers, and the music of Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin and some of the great rock classics. And when I heard Hendrix, I was just really blown away by the spirit, the virtuosity of the playing, and I was envious at the power that the electric guitar could create. And it's amazing to me how many people recognize this gesture of Hendrix. It really epitomizes what is so extraordinary about this country, that Hendrix could express such freedom in that moment at Woodstock during the Vietnam War era.
When you recorded that at CBGB in New York, the audience in this usually very raucous club was quiet until the end when they applauded.
Amazingly quiet. It was all of these clubs, it's extraordinary to me. People are really incredibly respectful, and at the same time, they listen totally unselfconsciously, and it's not like in a concert hall. There's some whistling, some sighing, or even laughter. I think there's so much humor in some of this music. It's wonderful to see people respond to it honestly.
Why did you decide to begin your tour on September 11th?
Well, This is a project that, in fact, Anthem, the recording, commenced before 9/11. But after 9/11, it took on a different tone, obviously, and a certain sense of urgency. And my sense of patriotism really evolved after 9/11 in a very complex way, like most of our sense of nation and this country. And I was seeing so many different reactions around me to this catastrophe, and I started to have questions about what is the role of music in the face of catastrophic events. I know that for me personally, the week after 9/11, I didn't really want to play. I didn't understand why I should do what I do when there was absolutely no meaning. It can be taken away and stripped away in seconds. And I realized through this project and over time that actually music is a way to help you deal with these issues and go into a certain kind of depth, understanding your own human nature and your own sense of purpose and history.
It's interesting to hear you talk about your patriotism because you were born in Israel.
Right, and I was born in Israel, but of course I feel very much American and Israeli, but I grew up in America, and certainly my musical education was in this country, and the relationship, of course, between Israel and the United States has always been, that the United States has been the best friend of Israel, and Israel is almost another state.
Very strained times now, though, of course.
Very strained times, and it's a very troubling time around the world, and to me, what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to play my part, my small part, in bringing music to as many people as I can and to really illustrate that celebrating America's arts and freedoms is a greater expression of patriotism than the glorification of any country's military might.
In addition to playing the national anthem on this new album, you play a couple of tunes by younger composers written after September 11th, 2001. Can you tell me about one of those?
Sure. Well, there are two. One by Toby Twining, 9/11 Blues. And the other piece is a piece by David Sanford, 7th Avenue Kaddish. It's a piece that places a hybrid player, somewhere between a jazz saxophonist and a wailing cantor, places this individual on the streets of New York on 9/11 as the buildings collapse. And the player continues to play because that's all he can do. That's how he can contribute or be a professional mourner, in a way, in that situation. Why don't I play, this is a 6 or 7 minute piece, for time restrictions. Why don't I play from the third part? It's in a four-part form.
Here's Matt Heimovitz playing 7th Avenue Kaddish, or Prayer for the Dead. Thank you. Matt Heimovitz here in Studio 4A at NPR. You play with your eyes closed.
Well, you know, it's hard. I don't know if I always do that, but this piece in particular and many of the pieces on Anthem enter worlds that are really removed from this one in some way. And I think closing my eyes to the material world around me helps me do that.
Your wife wrote a piece for you.
She did. Isn't that nice of her? Yeah.
Did she challenge you a little bit? Did she press you?
Funny you should ask. She certainly did. I mean, she's been hearing me practice for years now, and I think she really expanded the range of what's possible on the cello. I mean, in her piece Impromptu, it's very, very difficult. We had several serious conversations about this, but it's a wonderful, wonderful piece. And I think, especially when cellists hear it, they're amazed that, you know, this can be done on the instrument.
This is unfair, but can you play me the hardest thing in that piece?
Wow, you're cruel.
It's what I'm here for.
Why don't I play? Okay, I'll give you a little. In fact, this is a piece that, in some sense, was inspired by the fugal subject of the fifth suite of Bach. I'll play just a little bit of the Bach. Kind of sounds like this wooden flute.
Very light.
So she took that and created a very crazy passage out of it. Here's it's right in the middle of the piece, but here it is. No, there are many such moments, but it's a fabulous piece, actually.
A little piece of Impromptu by your wife,
Luna Pearl Wolf.
In these rock venues and in these clubs and bars, you are playing two different kinds of pieces. You're playing compositions by modern American composers, which won't be familiar to a lot of your audience, and you're also playing Bach, which is going to be very familiar to a lot of your audience. Does the audience respond differently to those two different kinds of music?
Well, you know, I have to play my greatest hits. I have to play the Bach. So that's in a sense. I mean, what I'm doing really is what every upstart rock band has to do. Yeah, there's a certain sense of relief when the Bach comes, a certain sense of recognition and a certain appreciation. Oh, yeah, I've heard that before.
After playing in such intimate settings in these rock clubs, CBGBs or wherever else you've been, is it going to be hard to go back to playing in a concert hall?
It's going to be different. It is different. I still play in concert halls with orchestras and in recital. You know, now going back to the concert hall, I have to say I feel more chemistry with the audience than I ever did before, and I feel a sense of intimacy that I didn't know existed. It's something that you can bring to a venue. It's not always about the venue itself.
I wonder if we could finish up here by playing one of the Bach pieces, one of the more classical pieces that you've been
playing. Yeah, you want to know that I can still play the cello after all of that, right?
Wasn't where I was going, but sure, why not?
Sure, I'd be happy to play some Bach. And to be honest with you, for me, the Bach cello suites written around 1720, these are some of the most contemporary pieces that I know. So everything that I've been playing for you today, it sounds contemporary, but I think the Bach still is very strange to have a solo cello making music all by itself and providing its own bass, its own melody, its own inner voices, and somehow Bach miraculously achieving that. Pretty strange and wonderful.
We'll listen to that music as we go out here, but Matt Heimovitz, it's been really fun talking to you. I really appreciate you coming by.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
And here we go. Bach, Prelude from the First Suite. That's a Bach cello suite performed by Matt Heimovitz. Our interview was produced by Alice Winkler and engineered by Drew Reynolds. And if you'd like to learn more about Matt Heimovitz, you can visit our website at npr.org. From NPR News, that's All Things Considered. I'm Steve Inskeep.